High FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Are organizations promoting a peace doing their job? That's what we want to know. Gabriel Krauss is a writer. He's an analyst at the Institute of Race Relationships. I always say race relationships, but it's really not. That is something apparently completely different, isn't it, Gabriel?
Well, it's close enough. Institute of Race Relations, but you know, yeah, let's get together. Let's be friends.
Let's be friends. Exactly. So what is the state of peace in the world today? How are we looking?
It's certainly not looking great. I think most people will be aware of. Everyone will be aware of the first major war in Europe in a long time. The war in Ukraine at the moment really exceeds what happened with the breakdown of Yugoslavia in the 90s. And because of Europe's, I mean, even though Ukraine is sort of the poorest country in Europe, because of its connection to global supply chains, that is having very direct impacts, also with the sanctions on Russia, around the world, especially on Africa, food prices going up, and that has knock-on effects. The civil war in Ethiopia is not concluded, and good thing to keep an eye on in terms of major concerns. Also, we see Turkey amassing troops on the Syrian border again, potential conflagration against the Kurds or Kurd separatists or would-be Kurd separatists, as the case may be, taking place there. If we go to the Far East, oh my word, I mean, you see America declaring that the water in between the island of Taiwan and the mainland of China is international water. China saying exactly the opposite. This is all the water within one country, build up there for potential major catastrophe. Some of America's major naval units have been further redeployed towards the Far East. And so there's a bit of a, I mean, the brinkmanship hasn't nearly reached its climax there, but
it is
ratcheting up.
Yeah. So why is this? I mean, is it possible when we look at, for example, the United Nations Human Rights Council, and we've got the, I mean, I don't know if it's politically correct to say it, but lunatics running the institution at the moment. but really, when you've got North Korea taking over the disarmament panel and then criticizing Israel for human rights, saying they're concerned about human rights abuses, and when you've got when you've got Iran, and you know, it goes back to the time that Gaddafi was himself headed this up. What do we expect really when we seem to have these organizations just completely useless?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question. Generally, you can even abstract it to a general question. If people are behaving badly as individuals and aren't really being serious about the matter, can you expect the group agent, the organization that they constitute, to be any better? You know, if you've got a bunch of mashuganas in a company, is the company going to be really great, even though the people in the company aren't really being serious? Right. I think the answer is always no. So I tend to take criticism leveled at the United Nations and redirect it downwards towards first the governments that constitute the major members as well as the minor members that have this rotational capacity to gain extra leverage or amplification, and further from there down to the institutions that make government work, civil society, media, political parties, and so on. And I do think that, I mean, the literature is pretty unanimous that since about somewhere in the 2000s, maybe around 2003, 2004, unfortunately, maybe around the invasion of Iraq, whether that's causally connected or not, you see a decline in democratic accountability, transparency, and reason responsive government more or less around the world. There are important exceptions. Israel happens to be one of them. But it is a general pattern where democracy is not been working as well, where democracy has already been achieved. And I think that allows autocracy a much greater advantage. And if I conclude, if that sounds like I'm just drilling down, you know, there is a big picture view on the United Nations, which is that it is an organization established really in the ashes of World War II to try and get a never again thing going after the League of Nations had totally failed. And the idea was to learn the lessons from that. Now, you know, the big thing that happened thereafter in terms of global realpolitik was the Cold War. And I think that Niall Ferguson, the Stanford historian, the snappy Scot, I think he's totally right. For the last 7 years or so, he's been saying we're in the second Cold War. And this is a Cold War, you know, the major captains really are Washington, D.C. and Beijing. And really the features that he finds in common between the last period and the 1950s are quite stark. There was quite a while when Americans and Soviets were spying on each other, stealing each other's IP, particularly from the Soviet side, and right. getting quite hostile before people talked about the Cold War. But that was the major thing. And we didn't learn the right lessons from ending the first Cold War, in my opinion. And so we're repeating the same mistakes, and it is giving major powers with no democratic accountability the leeway to flex their muscle, and it's also putting democracies at odds with each other. I mean, one of the tragedies is that Ukraine and Russia, like it or not, both have democratically elected presidents. Both have quite corrupt, you know, administrations, but they had the beginnings of it. They should have been able to talk it out. But the general environment of decline in respect, decline in good faith conversation. I mean, America, you know, parts of America really would be in a civil war if they could be. And I think what's happening in Ukraine is sort of like just a really tragic manifestation of what happens when you don't put on the brakes and talk it out, because the general environment is just us versus them. Let's go hammer and tongs at everything, and no compromise.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely right. And it's such an interesting. Who was that that writer that you referred to a few moments ago?
Niall Ferguson. He's a historian at the Hoover Institute at Stanford, which the Hoover Institute is sometimes said to be the IRR of America, or vice versa. He was a professor at Oxford and then at NYU, and he moved to Stanford. And the 20th century war, he sort of lays out the idea that World War One and World War Two were all the same war, really a continuation of a war driven by racial hatred. More than anything else, really,
absolutely
really terrible evil thing, and that's not the major driver of warfare right now, as it happens, you know,
right.
which is an interesting fact to note. Yeah.
All right, and unfortunately, that is all we have time for. But it is an absolutely fascinating conversation because we've got all these peace organizations, and yet we stand once again not only on the brink of war, but as you said, in our first major European war in many, many decades, at the impact that is being felt all around the world at the moment. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. That I'd love your thoughts and I'd love your reaction to that. Do you think that these organizations should even still exist? 34519 or 0618951019. That was Gabriel Krause. He's a writer analyst at the Institute of Race Relations.